March 22nd, 2009, you are listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Welcome to the TFormers.com podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and I am joined by the ever cheerful
Zip Piper, now with Mecha Live Technology.
Yes, which is just a rebranding of Automorph Technology, which was the previous incarnation of it. So, it's marketing. So, hello there.
Greetings. How are you this week?
I'm all right. So before we get together, fans, we get together and talk about our gripes. And usually it involves Jason complaining about Pittsburgh and me complaining about some other topic. So
this week was no different.
Yeah. So thankfully we spare you wonderful listeners from those gripes. So just count yourself blessed because we want to give you just the Transformer news. So. Because I don't love our podcast. They like to tell about their daily lives, and we just want to keep it straight and simple for you guys. So let's take it away and go right into the news. We have some big news this week, and of course we'll get to the Transformers animated episode review, which we can finally get back to doing.
Yay!
So Transformers movie news: Revenge of the Fallen coloring book reveals movie plot points? Question mark. And scans of the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen coloring book have surfaced online and may provide some insight into certain plot points into the sequel. Due to the potentially spoilerish material, we are providing an in-depth look at the scans in the full article. And obviously, you can view these scans at the TFormers.com website. And what do these scans include? Once again, this is a spoiler alert. They include kitchen appliances turning into horrible monsters.
Yeah, looking at these, it's kind of funny. When you had asked me previously about, things, do I really mind getting spoilers and whatnot? And I gave my response, but I just find it funny that out of the entire time of everything that I've found out so far, a kid's coloring book has, in my mind, the most spoilers for your buck than any other source we've reported on. It's a coloring book, and I already know the general outline of the movie because of a coloring book.
I know. Well, let me just go through what you could see here. You could see the Witwicky house completely totaled. You can also see what looks like a Decepticon on top of a pyramid. And you also can see Sam writing onto the wall in his bedroom. Optimus Megatron fighting, and then probably the cutest thing that will be in the movie, Wheelie getting stuck in a mouse trap.
Oh, golly.
This is the thing that bothers me somewhat, is that it seems to me that Transformers is trying to be two movies in one. It's trying to be a cute kitty movie, but yet an action-packed adventure for the hardcore fans. And I'm just like, it's like if the biggest complaint of the first movie was Frenzy, I have a feeling Wheelie is going to be the biggest complaint of this next movie. We also see, and I'll let you talk here. Let me just go through these. Soundwave with some tentacles on him. Megatron battling Starscream. Bumblebee to the rescue. And what do you think, Jace? I could go on forever.
Well, it's just, I think that they're, I just hope that Wheelie doesn't end up being like the Jar Jar of this thing, where it's like, oh, we absolutely need the bumbling, played over the top character. Like, not to constantly quote Star Wars, but it was, that's a pretty seminal, series of flicks. Anthony Daniels played what they try to accomplish with Jar Jar Binks and perhaps Wheelie and whatnot, but in a very subdued and just well-played manner.
Well, Anthony Daniels did C-3PO, but there was another guy that did Jar Jar Binks, but go on.
Well, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Anthony Daniels played the character of C-3PO and got kind of the shticky, you know, kind of he really wasn't a bumbler, but, you know, he was definitely, you know, kind of in my mind trying to be in the same ballpark, or they're trying to put like Jar Jar and Wheelie kind of in the same ballpark, but without any of the subtlety that Anthony Daniels would have brought to that type of character. Right. You know, it's all about, yeah, getting caught in mouse traps and cracking your head on things and falling down. And I mean, it's very, very, you know, schlocky, and I don't like that. So, I mean, whatever. This is, you know, a coloring book, and we'll see how it plays out. And I really hope that it's that he just doesn't end up being the, you know, he hits his head and he falls down and then he raises his head up and does the typical, you know, like kind of scene that we're so used to seeing, but whatever. And what's funny too is, like, man, all the coloring books that I've seen, anytime they try to draw, like, you know, people, especially women, they always look so butch. Like, you know, Megan is, you know, like I said, don't get me wrong, she's attractive. She's not necessarily my type of attractive,
but she
at least has feminine qualities about her. Whereas, like, this woman looks like she's coming at me with a blowtorch because my library book's overdue, and she is pissed.
I know it's very hard to draw. It's hard to draw females in general sometimes without, you know, exaggerating various parts that, you know, people tend to do, but. Yeah, it's just not exactly the best art for this coloring book.
So. But, you know, hey, it's cool. So, yeah, obviously we know Megatron's there. And, I mean, obviously if this is true and Prime is rescuing Spike from Megatron, Megatron exists in more than just flashbacks, especially if he's a Clock and Starscream for leadership, you know, a la a little throwback of, you know, the animated movie. Then, yeah.
There's just so much in this movie already. I'm just like, wow, this thing's going to be completely action packed. I'm wondering if there's going to be any room for actual drama. So anyhow, we'll see how it turns out. So,
well, this is Michael Bay. Remember, drama really isn't the biggest feather in his cap.
True. Very true. I will concede that point. So, so speaking of Michael Bay, good segue. Hold on. Michael Bay says Transformers 3 coming in July 2012. And there was a priest report there was a 2011 date. And he is just confirming, no, we're not that good. So July 4th, 2012 will be the Transformers 3, which will be Transformers 3, The Search for More Money. No.
Well, basically what he said was, I said I was taking off a year from Transformers. And Paramount made a big mistake in dating Transformers 3. So really what that tells me is that the guy's got a dump truck full of money that he needs to get busy spending for a little bit and just kind of wants to take a year off. So, you know, hey, more power to him. But I do have to admit, you know, 3 years for the next one would kind of – I mean, even though we haven't seen the second one, 3 years is a long time to wait.
Well, I would think that 2013 would be a good – you know, I don't know why they I mean, I would rather them spend the time and do it right – then try and rush it and it come out like X-Men 3, you know, where it's like, it's good, but it's not quite, there's just a little bit of polish that's missing, you know, and I would rather him take his time, recharge his batteries and come back to it ready to go than, you know, have them say, do Transformers 3 now, you know? So I don't know. I he's done a great job on the first one. The second one is shaping up to be a good one. And if he does a good job on the second one, then I would say, you know what? Go ahead and take a year off because you deserve it. So
Sure.
But all righty. So that's the movie news. And we're going to wait to hold the animated news until the end of it, end of the show, because that's just the way I'm going to do things. And if you don't like it, then tough.
Hit chapter skip.
Exactly. All right. So moving on to toy news. We have new looks at Revenge of the Fallen Legends, Scouts, and Deluxes. And Hobby Link Japan has posted images to the pre-order pages of upcoming Transformers Revenge of the Fallen figures, ranging from all Leader, Deluxe, Scout, and Legend classes. The Legends pre-order provides us the first look at Springer, Starscream, Sideswipe, Springer, Ratchet, and Jetfire. We have previously seen the official images of Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, but they have all been included for your visual enjoyment. So you can, of course, view that at the gallery. So, all in all, I mean, these characters are, you know, they're decent, you know, in terms of toys for the movie. I think the ones that are available in Leader class, I'm more open to getting the Leader class version than these particular smaller versions.
Just correct,
because the Leader ones are, you know, a lot better. But the ones that are not Leader class, they're all right, you know, all in all. And I don't think all these are going to be included in the movie. If anything, they'll probably be in the background, maybe. But the Optimus Prime one is the only one that doesn't look really great. Well, the Bumblebee one doesn't look great either. But
yeah, Optimus has just got too much crap hanging off of him in this one. And little, I've just never been a fan of the whole energy blade thing. I don't know. It's just, gun, well, something else, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, he had an axe in the cartoon. I don't know why they can't. Well, we can go into complaining about the axe on the other cartoon. But anyhow, so we've already seen a lot of these in terms of the deluxes and the scouts. So we'll move on to first look at Revenge of the Fallen Fast Action Battler Mudflap. And a new auction from Yaya B has provided us first looks at Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Mudflap. The little guy is a retractable rope and hook on the left arm of the figure. And you could take a look, once again, at tformers.com movie database. So what do we think of this guy? Your size says it all.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, because he's supposed to be, you know, one of the twins. And maybe once we actually see their personality in the movie. But it's just, his face just looks so stupid.
I know.
On many levels. Like, one, it looks stupid as in undesirable. And stupid as in not intelligent.
I know. I mean, it's the, like, elephant man in the robot form.
Yeah, I mean, it looks literally like he has had the crud beat out of him, and that's about the best they could do to reconstruct it. So he probably has a few circuits loose and whatnot. I don't know.
I know. It's. I wonder what this is saying about the Chevy car to begin with. But, yeah, you know, if it wasn't for the face, it'd be a great toy. And you know, the thing that's going to make these characters in the movie is the voice acting. If they get a really horrific voice actor for this, I'm just going to be cringing in my seat on this guy here.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree that really I don't have a problem with any of the toy except the head.
Yeah.
I mean, the vehicle mode's all right. You know, I mean, it's a pretty basic car to begin with, so you can't expect, you know, wonders from it. And, you know, it's all right. I mean, the robot mode, nothing we really haven't seen before. I mean, it's kind of standard, you know, as far as the breakdown is concerned. But, yeah, the lost a bar fight face is just ugh.
No, it just doesn't feel right, you know. It feels like Transformers comedy, you know. It'd be something out of a Transformers parody, I wouldn't imagine. So
yeah, I mean, and I don't want to see a retarded Transformer.
Well, mentally disabled or whatever, I'm not going to be politically correct this show, but it doesn't feel Transformery to me. It feels GoBot-ish, if anything. So all right.
I agree.
Moving on to go ahead and tell us about the Transformers Optimus Prime USB speaker and stand.
Yeah. So thanks to Ray at Robot Kingdom, who's let us know there's a couple of new items in on the pre-order that are, well, just Prime. The two are actually related, and you can pair the Generation 1 Optimus Prime head USB speakers with the optional over 3 feet tall plastic stand for your speaker. And that, of course, you know, leads, you know, there's also an Ultra Magnus version as well. And you know, so far they don't have like an Ultra Magnus body, so I'm not really sure why you'd want the Ultra Magnus head and the Optimus Prime body. But I'm just kind of curious what – I mean, this is all right, you know. I'm just curious what niche market you're really trying to go for with this. I mean, like the little kids and whatnot. I mean, the whole thing, if you buy the stand,
I'm thinking the college crowd is what they're trying to go for, you know, be like something you put in. I could see this in a college dorm maybe.
I don't know, but I'm saying it's like $300 for everything if you get the body as well. And I don't know. It's just – and I realize that with the speakers, you know, you having to project it forward, there are certain engineering aspects to it. But, you know, Prime is – he's like as a statue with the head on it looks cool.
Right.
Prime with his Dumbo, you're flying speaker open look just kind of dorky.
Yeah, it does not – you know, if it was out of the side of his head, that would be better than having him open his sides up. Because Prime has never done that. That's not Optimus Prime with big, giant, floppy Dumbo ears. I agree with you. And it works great as a head bust. And if they put the speakers on the outside where his little ears would be, yeah, that would work. This doesn't work. In my opinion, at least.
I was going to say, aesthetically, it doesn't work. Functionally, it does, because generally, you know, if they were coming out the side, you're projecting the sound not at you, but off to the opposite sides of the room. So the performance wouldn't be as good. So, I mean, I get it. You know, I understand from an engineering standpoint, but from an aesthetic standpoint, it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't look like – I mean, Prime, once again, Prime has never done that, so it doesn't look – it looks like somebody who didn't know about Transformers created this. And, you know, it's like, no, Prime would never have floppy giant ears that just flop out. So we're going to give that 2 thumbs down for creativeness. And, of course, you know, everything that they have for Optimus, they got to do in white for Ultra Magnus, you know, to get the diehard completist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I really think that this would be like for the same people that when Sharper Image used to exist would go in and like pine over the life-size statue of Superman for $2,400, you know?
Yeah.
And get that.
Well, that's probably why Sharper Image is no longer around anymore. So, all right. Well, tell us about the
fashion.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Read the next one.
Revenge of the Fallen Fast Action Battlers, Ratchet, Jetfire, Sideways, and Long Haul. So thanks to Arlen, we have some new images of some Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Fast Action Battler figures in the package. And while these have been previously seen before, these do reveal the full names of the Battler renditions, you know, of Ratchet, with Beam Blast, Sideways, which is Magna Missile, Jetfire, which is Photon Missile, and Long Haul, which is Devastation Blast. So.
Yeah, all in all, what do you think of these? Because, you know, we already have, I believe, deluxes for these toys, and now we have the Fast Action Battler, which is like a kid's version of the deluxe stuff.
Well, I mean, again, and I've said it before, fast action battlers are not my thing. I mean, these are for the young kids who, you know, can't necessarily spend, you know, 15 minutes transforming one of the more deluxe versions, and they just want to, you know, play with their vehicle and play with the robot and be done with it.
Right.
So, I mean, for what it is, I think they're fine. But, I don't know. Like I said, yeah, Sideways just looks a little... I don't know. He's a little top heavy.
Right.
You know, again, a lot of these just to me are like the old transformations of the old G1 little mini bots, you know, like Bumblebee, Windcharger, that, you know, pop the sides out, flip them around, stand them up, maybe bend the hood down, and that's it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's okay for what it is, but these do not, you know, raise my desire to get them in any fashion.
No, and to me, it adds to the confusion. I really think that they should keep keep the main characters as deluxes or, well, then, you know, Hasbro's always going to try and make as much money as possible. So, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing, there's pretty much, they're going to make multiple versions because they want to make money in every sort of aspect. But to me, it would be like, well, let's keep some of the fast action battlers as the secondary characters, but they're not going to do that.
So, right.
So all in all, I agree with you. For what they are, they look really good for just quick action toys. But, you know, for me, not my particular cup of tea.
Yeah, so. They're not really for us.
All right. So we also have new looks of Revenge of the Fallen Chromia. And thanks to Yeezy521 again, we have images of the Chromia figure. The figure has been seen before, but in his recent listing on Amazon Japan, seems to suggest the name of the RA-11 Chromia, and the character will work with RC or an eventual RC in the film. So,
I mean, it's fine. I mean, again, I'm not a huge fan of the ones that have wheels for, you know, legs or feet. I think in the movie, it's going to make a lot of sense. And, you know, it's going to allow for faster chase scenes and some really dramatic cinematography. But from a toy standpoint, they don't stand up. I mean, you've got – I see that they've got like that little – gun rack or whatever it's supposed to be that he's kind of sitting on, and that's great for display, you know, and whatnot. But yeah, I'm not a fan of things, of toys that don't stand up on their own for any reason.
Well, I like the idea, and I like the way that this, I actually do like this one now that I look at it a little bit more. I'm just curious to see once again how it plays off with the other figures.
Sure. So,
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I can understand they're trying to go outside the box with some characters, which is nice. But, you know, I don't think we have to. We already have too many wheeled characters in this movie, in my opinion. But
yep.
All right. Moving on to Tomi Takara Toy International Anime Fair 2009. Say that five times fast. And we have new Henke images. Jace, why don't you read that really quick?
So thanks to the guys over at the Hobby Stock, Japanese toy collectors, who have posted images of the Transformers Henkai action figures that will be coming out in Japan later this year. The images from the Tokyo International Anime Fair 2009 report show us pics from the Tomi Takara booth with looks at Masterpiece, that's MP08, Grimlock, and the I see what you're saying. The Chorno Label Watchbot from the Henkai line. We see Deluxe Class Smokescreen, Dinobot, Hotshot, and Red Alert. And from the Legends class, we see both of the Minibot sets. So those are actually some pretty good pictures.
I know, and actually the Henkai Red Alert is probably something I'm definitely going to pick up and add to my, you know, classics collection, because I don't think that's coming over here. And it's much better than the Cybertron toy that they repainted for Red Alert. It's very nice. I really like the style of that particular mold. And then I also like the way they really made it look like the classics Red Alert too.
Oh, yeah. No, that one is absolutely beautiful. The one that stands out to me, though, and I'm just curious, the fourth picture. Am I looking at Grimlock's brain transfer device, his sword, and he's got an apron and a drink serving tray?
Yeah, don't you remember the one episode of season 3 where Daniel falls down into a time warp where Grimlock is basically holding a serving tray and has an apron on?
I remember the whole brain transfer thing, but it's been so many years, I just don't remember the serving tray bit.
Yeah, there was the one, and this is where Grimlock was pretty much, you never saw him transforming, he was pretty much reduced to a comedic character, which is a high debate among fans. But in season 3, there was an episode, I believe Daniel falls down a well or something, and I'm not sure if it's, I don't think it's the one searching for Ultra Magnus's birthday, but he gets time warped somewhere, and it's some cosmetic function where all the planks are together, and Grimlock is in an apron and is holding a serving tray of various, you know, things. And for some reason, they decided to include that with the Masterpiece Grimlock. And
that's funny.
I love it. I think it's cute. I mean, part Grimlock, the problem with Grimlock is like he started out as such a bad ass, and he ended up being such a comedic Jar Jar Binks at the end of the series. But I think that they're including both of that in here. And once again, the masterpiece toy just looks awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just can't. I mean, if you could just pick that up for your collection, I would just, oh, it just looks gorgeous. And I really want that. Maybe I'll pick that up if I make it to BotCon this year. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what you're seeing there. And, you know, all the Henke stuff looks great. And I'm definitely picking up the Henke Red Alert if I can. So,
absolutely.
All righty. We have Revenge of the Fallen Leader Jetfire reveal. And this is a big, big one. And thanks to Lynth Art over at Ozformers Forums, we have our first look at the mock-up packaging and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Jetfire. And the box shots do not contain the actual figure. These images are mock-up, which are snapped at the 2009 Toy Hobby and Nursery Fair currently taking place, providing confirmation on spoilers that have been floating around as well as the character's bio. So obviously this is not the, you know, we don't have what the toy would look like. We have basically the cardboard cutout put into the box. But if that is anything what the actual toy looks like, that's a pretty sweet looking toy. Although, okay, we have some confirmation here, and here's a spoiler, folks. Yes, the toy does combine with Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And he has a cane. And his here is his spec. Jetfire grew tired of the war long ago. The reckless ambition of the Decepticons and the senseless violence of the war sickened him, and so he left Cybertron to go into hiding. The form he eventually chose on Earth seemed appropriate for one who wished to remain unseen. He slumbered in peace for years, now reawakened at the arrival of the war on Earth. He decided once again to enter the fight, this time on the side of the Autobots, and this time to end it for good, whatever the cost.
You know what that means?
Well, it doesn't. I don't know. He could be dying or whatnot. But okay, so what do we think of this? One, he has a cane, which, you know, I'm torn about that. It could be cute. It could be sort of like he's a robot. He, you know, he doesn't need a beard and a cane. And what do you think, Jace? Help me here.
Well, I mean, again, I'm hoping that they don't go too crazy in ascribing, like, you know, stereotypical personalities. Like, if they're going to try to make him into like a grizzled, like, war vet, like, you know, not quite like Cup, but, you know, still along the lines of like, I've seen my fair share, and, you know, that kind of thing. Again, with the cane thing, you know, really, they can't repair you. I mean, I understand, you know, humans to a point, you know, right. We really can't regrow our limbs just yet. But yeah, I don't know. Again, oh, once you've blown your voice modulator, we can never get you a new one. Sorry, Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this stuff where it's like once you're got a bit blown off, you can never get it back. It's like the complete opposite of the animated show. So yeah, if he's just limping around, yeah, we'll have to see how it works. Yeah. But
the toy
but yeah.
looks awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The toy looks phenomenal, and I'm curious on how this combines with Optimus Prime, which, by the way, the spoiler crew has just – I mean, I don't think we've had a spoiler that's come out yet and a rumor that hasn't been true. But, you know, we don't really have – I'm looking at this – on the side of the box says – Jetfire combines with leader class Optimus Prime, but it's like, oh, I see. It's like markers.
Yeah.
I see what they did. They took markers on here.
Because like, they didn't want you to see what it looked like.
Yes, yes. I'm curious to see. Oh, right. Yeah, those bastards. But, yeah, once again, I like the toy. I like the idea, but I'm just curious on how that's going to play off in the movie. And once again, we'll have to wait and see the movie to see how well that works. So,
yeah. Although, if the box is any indication, yeah, that would be kind of. I mean, if he's going to die, because generally they don't put in that, you know, whatever the cost. May I remind you of you know, the animated movie where Optimus said those very words, and we know what happened to him.
Yeah, but it begs the question: Can the toy department not sing up with the spoilers department, you know? And I guess they can't, because you have to get the toys out at some point. And, you know, in this day of the internet, things are just going to leak out no matter what. But anyhow. All right, moving on. We have some animated toys. And why don't you tell us about those glorious incarnations?
So we have official images of Activator's Fireblast, Grimlock, and Soundwave. So fresh from the inboxes to your eyes, they have the official images of the upcoming Transformers animated Fireblast, Grimlock, and Activator Soundwave. The Grimlock is a... of the previously released Activator's Grimlock figure. So yeah, looking at these... Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. It's like they're great for kids. You know, you hit the button, they transform really quickly. But, geez, I mean, Grimlock is Volcano Grimlock? I just am not. I'm assuming it's going to be a plot point in the upcoming show, so.
I guess, but yeah, the paint job on that is so terrible. I mean, I understand, you know, young kids, you know, keep the transformation symbol simple. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, you can't give this guy a better paint job. I mean, it looks like a 4-year-old painted it.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. All right, moving on.
Yeah, both of them.
I don't want to be too negative this show, but yeah, there's just a lot of horrible toys that came out this week, so. One toy that does look good is the BotCon 2009 Wings of Honor figure number 4 Elite Guard Flak, which just reminds me of the Brack show for some reason. Fun Publications unveiled the 4th of their 5 figures of the BotCon 2009 Wings of Honor. Exclusive bot set is the Elite Guard Flak, and basically it's a repaint of Cybertron Defense Scattershot. And you can get better images at BotCon.com. And this is, yeah, Scattershot, which they've done for the Universe line. Man, this mold just, you know, continually just gets reused in every possible way that they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I you know my feelings about the Cybertron toy line. This doesn't look too bad, but, you know, I'm not too thrilled. It's all right, you know. I have no idea. It looks like a super missile cannon that, you know, after it shot all of its missiles is pretty much spent.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an actual military vehicle.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. This is not – well, if you're looking at the BotCon pictures, like the last one where it's like this huge missile launcher on the back, I forget the actual name of the, you know, vehicle. But, yeah, it's just it's a mobile missile platform, mm-hmm. you know, so it can travel and then deploy, I don't know, obviously like ranges or anything, you know. But, yeah, it's just they go and they – missile the bejesus out of something. Right. So that's legit. However, you know, in the second picture where he's got his big, ridiculous looking, stupid blasters on the side, you know, like they open up, you know, from, you know, and the things pop out, that doesn't exist, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I will say for anyone that, you know, follows like Rumble Frenzy's custom work. He took that piece and did a really good thing with a Grimlock that was really awesome with that. Where that was the actual gun that he gave to Grimlock. It really worked well.
Oh yeah, have you seen his? He did a Defensor recently that just turned out absolutely awesome. And
no, I didn't. Where'd you see it at?
Well, his website rumblefrenzy.com, and one of the things that he took a robot in disguise, Optimus Prime, which to me was the most complex Optimus Prime you could ever make, because literally I think in my opinion that toy just fell apart every time I tried to play with it, and he made that into Hotshot for the fire truck.
Oh,
and it came out really amazingly well as per usual. So I mean,
nice.
The guy is just, you know, just is just phenomenally talented, so you can go check that out at rumblefrenzy.com. So all right, so that is the toy news. So we will go on now to cartoon Transformer anime news. So here's a little – well, let me do this story first. Transformers animated site has been updated, and we have RC's bio is revealed. And I'll read this to you here really quick. RC has dedicated her life to the power of information as a teacher. She sought to the young Autobots all learn the values of facts and how to tell truth from lies. During the war, she turned her dedication to the truth to carrying data for the Autobot High Command. Often from deep behind enemy lines, she will face any danger to defend what is right, no matter what the cost. And basically, we have a top sword fighters on Cybertron modified to make rocket-powered jumps in car mode, and crypto memory core is nearly impossible to hack, except by Ratchet. Right. So you could go check that out at Transformers.com and look at the artwork, which, of course, you know, for an RC character, it's a really, really well-done piece of artwork.
No, absolutely. If this is pretty indicative of what she's going to look like in animated, I think that this is, you know, going to be probably the best incarnation of a RC that we've seen in a great many years.
Yeah, it's nice to know we've had some really good, decent incarnations of the movie characters, which is a segue to talk about one of the movie characters, which may not be dead yet. All right, so here's the scope, which once again, now, so this is the benefit of listening to other shows because you get more in-depths. Thanks to WTF at TF2005 for giving me the scoop, and also the Twitter feed to follow for Derek Wyatt's Twitter feed. So here's the scoop on Blur from the last week's episode, is that he originally did the, and you can view this artwork at any of the websites, so tformers.com is included, that he drew the artwork of this metal box with the spark of Blur actually inside of it. And he said that when the animators took that and actually drew it, they forgot to include that. So, you know, it was basically he did that with the idea that Blur would have the spark compacted within him, and that the spark is not necessarily like in the center, but it's just, you know, included in the entire being of the Autobot. And he said he's putting this up to say, because supposedly said Blur will not return in the third season, and he's not trying to give rumors that Blur will return, but to just open the argument and say that, well, you know, obviously I thought Blur was going to be alive, but then again, Cliff Jumper just put him down the incinerator chute. So whether or not the incinerators were turned on that day, it being Tuesday, may be the case. So Blur, so there's a loophole there for Blur coming back. So here's my thought on this. You can tell me if I'm crazy. Obviously, it seems from everything we rumored that season 3 is going to be the swan song of animated, and that basically the creators are going to try and do whatever they can to do what they wanted to do with the feedback that they received at BotCon. Here's Blur. They gave him a, and I'll get to my thoughts on his death to begin with. But basically, here's the loophole if they ever decide to bring him back for season 4, if they haven't previously decided to bring him back for season 3. In retrospect, and listening to other shows, and once again, I'll even quote TFW, here's my problem with his death is that, and I agree with, I think it was Goddog who said this, he made such a valiant effort to run across the universe to give this information and to die just so horribly. I mean, looking at this artwork too, it's just like, oh my God, if he doesn't get some sort of, sort of like they find his body and, you know, he relays that information of, you know, Shockwave being the traitor. If he doesn't get something out of his valiant effort, I'm going to be pretty pissed off because, you know, that was probably the best character of Blur, and he just ran across the universe, did this very heroic thing, and then he just died. And granted, I wouldn't mind him dying if it weren't for the fact that once again, he just put in all this effort to relay this information and it was just for nothing, which, by the way, don't get me started on the last episode of Battlestar Galactica, which I got to talk to you about off air because there's some issues I have there with people just, you know, I don't mind heroes dying as long as it, you know, at least in the cartoon sense, is not for loss.
Well, see, that's the thing. Not every character can or should get a hero's death. I understand people want to see that. And for those that weren't really listening, you know, that maybe didn't listen to our show last week, I'll briefly reiterate, you know, my comments about that, about Blur. I have to say, of the entire stable of Transformers animated characters that we have seen so far, Blur is definitely in the top of my list. I thought he was executed beautifully, as far as, you know, his drawing, his personality. I love everything about this character. However, I want him to be dead, because more than anything else, more than my love of characters or the need to have a heroic death or anything, this whole show, along with many other shows, are based off of what? Conflict. With conflict comes loss. And that was my big issue with the whole sorry key thing. Mm. Why the who cares if Optimus just got his head blown off? No worries. Let's just get Sari's key over here and we're back in the action. Right. I mean, if there is never any risk of any loss, I mean, even if you just put it in like real world terms, if you and I were to, you know, hate each other and try to beat the crap out of each other at every chance we got, and the best we could do was just knock each other out for a little bit, and then next week we're right back at it again, sooner or later, you know, these are hopefully intelligent creatures, bots, whatever, they'll realize it's pointless.
Right.
You know, if there's no way, you can never, no matter what you do, take somebody offline, then what is the point of the war to begin with?
Right.
So I understand what they were saying with the spark thing, but come on, what in God's name do you have to do to flip and kill a bot then, if not crush it down into a cube?
Right.
I need him to be dead, to at least give validity to the guns and the battle axes flying around, because otherwise all we're getting are bots idiot boxing.
Well,
and that would bother me.
Well, it also gives, you know, various people have said it gives Shockwave just this much more evil demeanor, because, you know, it looks he's more of a threat to be dealt with. Although somebody did make the comment, I think it was God Dog, of like, who builds a command center with walls that you could contract? Once again, I think everybody's hoping, you know, as long as something comes from his death, I would be all right with it. A cartoon show, I think you have to have a happy ending for this, just because it's a cartoon show. And adult show, you don't necessarily need to, which I can go in a whole conversation of Battlestar Galactica loss, deaths, and stuff like that. But So basically this got released, and if you look at this drawing, it's horrific. And I guess he said you wanted really horrific sounds for when he got crunched, but he said the animators forgot to include the spark, so he may or may not be dead. I guess we'll see what happens. So, but yeah, it's interesting to see the artwork. Nevertheless, he's a great, talented designer.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that he is. I mean, if he's not dead, the only compromise, kind of building onto what you were saying, that I could see would be that they find him, okay, what remains of him, and somehow they do their little magic and they like plug something into him to just access his neural net or whatever they want to call it for a brief second. Like he's got just enough power left to give, you know, the identity of the traitor, and then he fades out permanently.
Right.
You know, that. Fine, you know, I'll buy that he's got just enough to hang on, but I mean, as much as I love him as a character, I have to say that. I love him as a character. I need him to be dead.
And No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was just reiterating that, because then really, then how do you kill them? How do you kill the robots? You don't.
Well, I think that's why with the last week's episode, they decided to get rid of the key where they basically took the power. And I think that was a lot of feedback that they got from BotCon. So they took out that MacGuffin, which, by the way, where does the word in term MacGuffin come from? Oh, encyclopedia.
Hitchcock used that a lot, as far as a term. And basically, it just means a plot point that does not need to be explained for the cohesiveness of the story. I personally hate MacGuffins because, to me, most of them can be explained away with like one sentence. You right. know, just slide it in there. You know, don't just leave that crap hanging. I mean, maybe it's just the way my mind is wired. But again, I will buy huge killer robots rampaging through a city. But, you know, one small thing that gets overlooked that you don't explain just totally irks me.
Right. Well, basically, I think that's why they drained the key and put that key, you know, the AllSpark energy into Sari, because they wanted to. And if you note, if you watch the episode from last week, it's like at some point, and I didn't see this, and once again, this is what the benefits of listening and reading other areas, is that I guess Oh my God, I'm totally blanking out. What's the green guy's name?
Bulkhead.
Bulkhead, duh. Bulkhead's iron gets completely blown off, and they use the key to fix it, but then the key doesn't have any power to fix Bumblebee. So I think they've dealt with that, because now, you know, if you watch the episode, it's a lot darker, and they've raised the stakes of, you know, that death and damage can now happen, especially with Sari impaling Bumblebee at some point. However, we thought they were going with a darker tone, and that leads us into the review of this week's episode, Three's a Crowd, which is definitely a filler episode in every way, shape, and form.
My God, as good as Transwarped was, yeah, this is the complete opposite.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you start, Jace, because I'll let you go first.
Well, can I just say, you know, for those that listened to the podcast last week, what did I say about Masterson's headmaster, you know, unit? Destroy it. It causes you nothing but trouble. But no, we got to constantly keep it in good working order so Masterson can keep ripping it off and, you know, jumping onto bots' heads. And now we have it where it's, you know, spontaneously generates into a new ridiculous Constructicon.
I know, not Yay. Just a Constructicon, another stereotypical Italian Constructicon.
Yeah, well, I didn't like the look of him, you know, just the whole short, squat, you know, fixed head center art, you know, like we're getting in a lot of the new bots and whatnot. But yeah, so we're all crazy Italian mafioso, you know, blue collar work and construction guys. And he's, for some reason, got a mind control plug that he can spit at people.
Which reminds me of Bombshell, but not, I mean, it doesn't have any relation to, you know, Bombshell other than the mind control thing. But yeah, it just was sort of like, you know, at some point at the end of the cartoon, I thought they were going to combine and merge, but that didn't happen. So I thought that would give me at least some sort of, you know, benefit of this episode. But it was like all the great stuff that they did last week, they had to go back to Kitty Land again with the cartoon. And it was just sort of like, I mean, there's some great things. The whole, you know, Professor Ian doesn't quite understand when Bulkhead's trying to be subtle. I mean, that's cute. But there's just other parts where I'm just sort of like, come on, guys. Do we have to, you know, I understand they got to do a filler episode, but this was just really, really, I don't like the Constructicons as characters. I think if anything, they're the least, you know, they're the most vapid characters that we've had on animated. And they just really serve no purpose other than to give Bulkhead an out for doing something really stupid.
Oh, I agree. I have not liked any of the episodes that the Constructicons have been in. And this episode, too, it's like, I don't know if they just screwed with the time or there was plot holes or what. But it's like, if you recall, like when Dirt Boss, you know, got the other two on board and they started ripping off the oil and whatnot, the montage would have you believe that this is over a long period of time, especially right, with the spinning, you know, newspapers and whatnot. Like, okay, that should be several days, if not weeks of stuff. And the Autobots are still trying to get him. I'm drawing blank on the name of the big bot they were trying to pull out. Huh?
I'm drawing a blank too.
Phooey. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I know. We're terrible reporters. But so, like, what they've spent weeks trying to get that guy out, and then my other big flaw with the plan is like, oh, you lunkheads, don't drink the oil, you know, because we're gonna, you know, extort the city. I'm like, well, oil for
lug
black
nut. Lug nut.
Lug nut.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, and that's my subconscious working on that, and it just inserted it into yeah. But it's what do they want to extort?
Yeah.
So despite, you know, again, our feelings on the big bots running on oil, woohoo. I mean, what? They don't need money. They don't care about gold. So you've got all this oil. What are you extorting the city for? They never went into that. And that, again, one of those small things that irks the crap out of me.
Right. I mean, it's like the plot points are always just like, we're trying to do bad things. Well, what is the reason behind your bad things? So
yeah.
Yeah. But you know, then again, the question is, and we, you know, I always throw this out, it's a kid's cartoon. Are we thinking too hard? Because if you try and think too hard, you know, where's the fine line between losing the kids and making a good cartoon show? I thought, you know, Transwarped was awesome. But then again, I don't have any kids, and I'd be curious to see if, you know, you put a bunch of kids down in front of it, what they would think. Would they be entertained? You know, are they able to follow what's going on? So, I don't know. It's a catch-22, I think, in this particular case. So,
I hear you. But again, everything I just said could have been summed up with one line. You know, have Dirt Boss say, like, and we're going to control all the oil, and until the mayor puts us in charge of the city, they ain't getting none. You know, fine. You want to control the city, you know, then I'm on board. That's all you have to say. But there was no motivation for him taking the oil.
Well,
none.
I think he said that at some point that they wanted to control all the humans with the oil. But I mean, yeah, they really needed to go a little more in depth in terms of the, you know, actual, you know, motivation behind the character. And I didn't like Dirt Boss anyhow. I just thought he was a very, you know, once again, it was a filler episode, not as good as Transwarped, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I agree. I do not like the design of Dirt Boss at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right, well, there's your review. So moving on really quickly to comic news. Transformers comic preview bonanza. Comic fans get all the preview goodness they can eat today with three previews on Comics Continuum. On the menu, we have All Hail Megatron number 9, Revenge of the Fallen Alliance 4, Serious Conclusion, and last but not least, Spotlight Jazz picks inside. So, and yeah, they're pretty much trying to wrap everything up, I think, before the movie. But if you want to go take a look at the various artwork and the various styles of artwork, you could go to theTformers.com and check on our galleries. So, all right. So, miscellaneous news really quick. Good. Well, I don't know if he's a good friend, but I got a chance to interview him, which was a highlight of my life. But Stan Bush has the touch for the troops, Guitar Hero, Bakkan, and Revenge of the Fallen. And why don't you go ahead and read that story, Jace?
Well, yeah, Stan Bush dropped us a line to let us know he's got a few things in the works. He's got the touch for a number of new projects, including a new video supporting the troops in Iraq and a new cut showing up in Guitar Hero, which he says, if we read the interviews, it's going to be a downloadable content for as far as that goes. He is going to be at this year's BotCon, most likely performing with his band. And hopefully a really special surprise in June, which is just hinted at, and more.
And let's see, also is going to be performing at the Japanese Animation Convention. And you can, I think, view the video of the touch, which is on YouTube and also tformers.com. So glad to see he's going to be at BotCon stuff. I mean, this, you know, they really should at least put a snippet of the touch, I think, in the movie, you know, and just give the guy a little bit of props for all. I did say to him at some point, which I'm just hoping that maybe this gave him the idea for Guitar Hero, but I always told him when I did my interview, you really should release your song as a karaoke track, because I would love to sing that karaoke. And I just got to play Rock Band for the first time like 2 weekends ago. I am totally down with getting Rock Band now and just downloading that track to just attempt that.
And, oh, it's fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's great that's, you know, sort of, I mean, Rock Band for the vocal part is pretty much karaoke, but I'm glad to see that that's going to be included as a downloadable item. So I would definitely download that just to have that. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I actually did watch the video, and it's one of those where it's like, I totally appreciate, you know, what he's doing. You know, he's doing the support right on. But it was just kind of cheesy.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've watched it or not.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
It reminded me, I mean, it's like, you know, we've got a montage. It's a montage. Montage. You know, it was just a bunch of that and a couple weird video effects that just didn't quite seem to fit with it. Like there's like these black splotches that fly over the screen, which to me, you know, and again, I am by no means wanting to read too much into it because, like I said, I loathe political correctness and all that other crap. But it's like I saw oil splats. going over it. What they're supposed to symbolize, I don't know. But, you know, with the war in Iraq and whatnot and the whole oil thing over there, I just saw a bunch of oil splats. And so that was kind of weird.
I'm watching it now.
Yeah. And just some of the stuff that he does in the video, it's like it's so low budget. It reminds me, and I forget the name of the song, but it was a Journey song that they did a music video for in like an afternoon.
Separate Ways, and they're that was one.
They were just like pumping their fists in front of the warehouse.
Yeah,
you know,
one of the top 10 worst videos of all time, I think. So
yeah, it's like it kind of has that feel for it. So it's like I'm not trying to undercut, you know, what the guy's doing. I totally appreciate the message, but I think that the video is kind of.
Stan, if you're listening, check it. Just call me and I'll hook you up with a better production house that can help you out on your videos. So, because props for what he's doing. I give him a ton of credit, which he said he was going to be doing this, which is great. But, I'm watching now. The actual shots are not too bad, but working in sort of the marketing industry, you can always make these things a ton, 10 times a lot better than what we currently have. So. But yeah. But props to you, Stan. I mean, I hope to see you at BotCon this summer. So because the guy looks and sounds amazingly well for his age. I mean, he has not aged a day.
Isn't he in like his mid-50s?
I would have to think 40s at least. So
I don't know.
He looks good for his age. So I'll just say that. So I mean. Concerned, you know, how many rockers from the 80s, you know, are bald and, fat at this stage of the game and don't look really good. So, but all right. So that leads us on to some listener feedback. And once again, we got some feedback from our friend. Well, let's see here. We got a couple things going on here. I got a couple guys trying to contact me on Skype. I apologize. I've just been extremely busy with work, and you always seem to catch me at a bad time. So I will try and drop you a line at some point. We got who is basically, or maybe I shouldn't say his name. Dual Mirror Gridwork, who basically sent some stuff and sent us some more of his thoughts and what looks like. Some actual sketches that he created in like an art. I'm assuming he's an architectural guy. I'm curious what your job is, because he says some like it looks like some actual design layouts in like an architectural program of some of the Transformers size comparison stuff. And let me go through. He sent me a ton of emails. And basically, here's my thought. You know, in terms of the size comparison stuff. Let's take this to the forums, because I think the fans can really appreciate this in the various forum threads. So let's make a couple of threads of this in the forums. I once again, the amount of work you've done is amazing. He gives a couple links to another guy who's posted a YouTube video who goes through the actual calculations of starting with Transformers and working his way up to figure out the size of Unicron and Primus, which is aka Cybertron in the Unicron series. I started watching that and my mind hurt. My brain started to hurt because I'm like, oh, math. And then just like, I'm like, wow, I give these guys credit for trying to figure out the actual size of what Unicron and Cybertron will be. He says a really interesting sketch, which I think I may post here in the actual chapter links. Cybertron compared to actual Earth's moon is really tiny, which would make sense, you know, because if they could put that in Earth's orbit and it being that close, I guess it would be really tiny compared to Earth's moon. But then that makes me think, wow, if it's that tiny, the Transformers were pretty cramped on Cybertron.
Not really, if you think about it, and this is, you know, I'll throw my two cents in here. Earth, we live on the surface and just below it, you know, maybe like a mile or so, you know, depending on if you're talking mines and whatnot. But as far as general functionality, almost all of us live on the surface. It's been shown many times that Cybertron, I mean, literally, it's just I believe that they use almost the entire mass of it. You know, right. There's constant hidden sections and sub levels and whatnot. So really, if you were to explode Cybertron and flatten it out to all of its usable pathways and whatnot, you'd do all right. I mean, how many crazy miles of arteries and veins do we have in our body? You know, to me it's almost kind of that same thing. So while it is smaller, they use it all.
Very true, very true. So let me go ahead and really quickly just play this wave that he sent me here. So and then we'll really quickly wrap this up, and then I don't want to linger too much on the size comparison, at least here on the podcast. I mean, it's very interesting, and I really appreciate you sending us this stuff, but I think it's something that is bear discussing in the forums. So I'm going to say, let's take that to there. And then we'll get into some other questions they asked, and we'll go over that. So let's really quickly play.
Me, Dual Mirrored Gridwork. Nah, I'm sorry, Ironhide. I just wanted to play on that. Anyway, it's me, Dual Mirrored Gridwork. Yeah, I'll have to explain that one to you guys. Anyway, Ironhide, since you went ahead and said something about you drawing City Formers, a.k.a. Metroplex, Triticons, Corvonok, and Fortress Maximus back in the day, I wanted to send you some of the pictures of the reason why I was asking the questions about the overall scale. The first one, and by the way, the big one here that I have to show you first, is all the pieces were individually drawn. There was no draw this part first, connect it to this part. No, these were all drawn on a separate piece of paper, copied, cut out individually, and pasted on another piece of paper like a jigsaw puzzle. So there was no drawing, you know, from the feet on up, I guess you would say, or the base of the city on up. Anyway, the first one comes with a scale chart where 2 inches equal 1 mile, which is 5,280 feet, in case people didn't know, which most people should. Not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, let alone mine's not exactly that high either, just to remember I remembered. Anyway, and then the second one is where I scaled them down with the information, and I sent this to you last week. A lot of that's guesswork on my part. However, the NTAF, the Nordic Transformers Fan Association, I think it is, says something about the RID, Brave Maximus, or whatever it's called for RID, is about 350-some-odd meters tall, 315, I can't remember exactly right offhand. But I kind of worked with that since that's kind of close to the Japanese scale. But I didn't care much for that particular picture I sent to you guys where Metroplex barely comes up to Fortress Maximus' knee. I thought he was a little bigger than that. But yeah, and the second one is where it's 1 inch equals the same 5,280 feet. The city formers are in scale with that. So just wanted to send that to you guys. And I'm going to send some information about where a fan... I have gripes about the toy myself. I'll go into that later some other day. Kind of worked with the idea how big the scale for the Cybertron / Primus toy is from the Cybertron toy line. So, I hope you guys get this okay and get the links, and I look forward to enjoy the show every Monday morning around 4 o'clock in the morning. So, take care. Be downloading you guys here soon. Bye.
All right, so there's this quick feedback they sent us. So, you know, I think you got it pretty much down pack with your scale. I mean, I think what you guys have for Fortress Maximus and Metroplex, I always assume Metroplex is sort of like a small city, and then like Fortress Maximus would be a, you know, like New York. But once again, you have to take calculations. The size would have to be expanded for Transformers. And once again, I use like Jetfire as the tallest Transformer as the example. But he also sends a link to the YouTube videos. And let me just give you the YouTube name really quick, and then we're going to move on. Crappy TF Hater is in the YouTube, and he goes through the calculations of Cybertron and Unicron, and it's just massive math. I mean, like I said, my head hurt. but yeah, I mean, I don't know, Jace. What else can you say about this? So,
No, I mean, nothing really, just simply because, I mean, it sounds to me that this is definitely, you know, a subject that he's passionate about and has done a lot of work on that subject. And because of the inconsistencies of animation back in the day and the different animation houses doing things and there not really being any, you know, Bible as far as, you know, consistency goes, you know, until Hasbro comes forward and says, this is the proper canon, blah, you know, and then there you go. You know, this is probably about the best you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not in structural engineering, my friend, you really should take it up as a job. But I think you have all the answers in terms of, you know, asking us. I'm just going to go with what you got, man, because you obviously have more detail on what than I do. And I think you've got Cybertron and Unicron, all this down pat. So other than that, let's take that discussion, move that to the forums if we can. He also sent us a bunch of questions. And so what I'm going to do is let's go through one of these questions for a week, because there's a lot there, my friend. And not that I don't appreciate you, but I don't want to draw out the show too much. So let's go through the first question here, and we'll just take one a week.
Hey, guys. It's Dual Mirrored Good Work here again. How about we just work for DMG for the time being? It's a lot easier for you guys to pronounce. Anyway, I've got a list of questions here I want to have your thoughts and or opinions about. And no, they're not about scale this time. So I'm going to go ahead and read all these a little bit one at a time and just try to get your overall opinion about things. One does kind of relate to the original email I sent to you, Ironhide, and is about Quintessons. Overall, what is your guys' opinion about them as far as them being robotic and or partially organic? And the reason I'm kind of leaning to the whole organic thing is, I don't remember what episode it is, but something about a red sorcerer, and I remember Ramhorn or something like that, and they found like an expelled Quintesson that practiced magic. So I kind of wonder, when was the last time you guys ever seen a robot practice magic? As far as I knew, only living things could do that. So that kind of leans toward my cyborg thing.
Okay, so that's the first question there. So what do we think of the Quintessons? And the Quintessons, geez, that brings up a whole bag of worms. Great in the movie, got really lame in season 3. You know, obviously season 3, there's great things about season 3, and then there's really bad things about season 3. And I think everybody agrees that the Call of the Primitives was probably the best episode in season 3. But the Quintessons to me, when they did the whole thing, this is how we have to explain the Quintessons and give you some sort of closure after the movie. I can appreciate what they were trying to do with the cartoon and give us some extra stuff to wrap things up. But I really didn't need to know where the Transformers came from for it to be a good cartoon show. You know, all in all, I think that they were okay for a couple episodes, but there was a couple, I mean, after a while it got kind of annoying because Transformers was about robots transforming and it wasn't about scary tentacle monster type beings, which I thought that by season 3, they got very lazy, obviously with the animation and with the transformation sequences. So you got less of that because they felt the need to put Quintessons and other plot points in there. So in my opinion that, you know, they were great for a little while, but then they just got really dumb. And I really don't think that they needed to be expanding on any more than what they originally were, possibly after the Five Faces of Darkness episodes after the movie.
No, I mean, I pretty much agree with that. Now, you've got a better memory for these things than I do because, I really wasn't as a kid a big fan of season 3. I remember watching it and just being disgusted with a lot of episodes. So it doesn't occupy too much of a, you know, treasured place in my mind. Did they where did the Quintessons come from again? Like did they ever fully explain their origin or no?
Well, they never explained, at least from the cartoon. It might have been done in like some, you know, the comics and whatnot. Comics took a different route, but the only thing we know is the Quintessons built the Transformers. The workers were the Autobots, and the ones that did entertainment and battle arena stuff were the Decepticons. And of course that led to the Autobots and Decepticons, of course.
Right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything because, you know, when I was younger, I mean, to me, the whole, you know, partially organic, you know, machine thing, I always just kind of chalked it up to, I mean, it's a pretty standardized sci-fi thing. where when technology reaches a point where you start integrating that into yourself, you know, like you've got like Cylons or Bionics or whatever, that, you know, they probably started out organic and then, you know, made themselves into kind of what became the Quintessons, but you obviously still maybe would have like the organic brain, right, you know, that kind of stuff. And then they would build the Transformers, which for the most part were 100%, you know, machine, with the exception of that little divine spark thing or whatever. So that's kind of how, as a kid, I always thought about them, was, right, you know, like an advanced race of organics that then kind of shed most of their mortal coil.
Yeah, and in all, I mean, I didn't buy the Quintessons, but when we got to the whole combination of beast and, you know, machine and, you know, living thing and, like, beast machines, the whole organic slash robot thing got taken a little too heavy, but that's another discussion for another time. So,
yep.
So we'll get to your other questions. So no more questions. Let's go through these five before you say more if you can, please, Matt. Thank you very much, though. I do appreciate it. All right, one more email from a listener. It says, hello, and he doesn't give me a name at the end, but, from Primetime on the forums. And he says, hello, Ironhide 1975 and Z Piper. Hope you are both fine and well. Loving the podcast. As always, you guys do a great job with the news and your unique take on Transformers. In regards to your questions on the last podcast, the accessories that were the masterpiece figures that came with were great, and I would love to have the scaled-down versions for the G1 toys. Things like Prime's Energy Axe, Megatron's Energy Mace, and Small Megatron's Gun, and Grimlock's Intelligent Transfer Device, to name a few. Also, I would love to see any equipment that only made a few appearances, like Wheeljack's Inventions. Oh, that's a good point. That one episode with Wheeljack's Invention that didn't work. That'd be kind of, right. That'd be a good thing for a fan project. Also, Hasbro's stated a number of times in interviews and at BotCons that they really like the deluxe scale, and that is their main push in terms of the Transformers. This is one of the factors that led to the decision of Universe Galvatron to be released as a deluxe when he was intended to be a Voyager. Living in the UK, I do not know the sales of the US Transformers. All I can give you is that the UK, the deluxe class, is the highest Transformer class in terms of revenue and sales. In terms of Transformers actually purchased, Legends class has the most units and sales value. Hope this helped. Keep up the good work with all the podcasting goodness. Well, thank you. P.S. I've added you on Skype just before sending this, just so you know who I am. Hope to chat with you soon. Well, thank you, Primetime. I appreciate that. So that answers a couple questions that I had last week concerning, you know, what were the most sold toys in terms of the Transformers universe. So thank you again. So there is our reader feedback. And once again, guys, you can email us at podcast@tformers.com or, you know, and once again, I apologize. I don't get around to the forums as much as I need to, but go check out the forums at tformers.com and leave us feedback either about the podcast or, you know, start your discussions like what are the actual size of the Transformers. So, and there you go. So there's your news for this week. Jace, you got anything before we sign off here?
I'm good.
All right. So once again, this is Ironhide 1975.
And Z Piper.
Have a good one, folks.
What is it?
It's a robot. But like a different, you know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese. Yeah, it's definitely Japanese.
T-Formers.com podcast is copyright 2009 T-Formers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@T-Formers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.